And I wish some of your dozy mates in the media had got a fix on their job and started being reporters and journalists, not editorialists and analysts, which they're not qualified to do. Prison company accepted, of course.
The Wire.
Protests have continued in Iran, calling for the overturning of the current government, even in the face of mass arrest. Public trials of arrested protesters have recently begun, recently seeing the first death sentence ordered and others sentenced to 10 to 15 years of jail time. The protests stemmed from the death of Masaha Amani, a 22-year-old woman who died in police custody, whose passing sparked nationwide dissent calling for women's liberation. To learn more, I spoke to Iranian-New Zealander and economist Hannah Habibi about what's been going on the ground, what's changed, and what the outcomes of the protests could be. I first asked her about the impact of the first death sentence of a protester.
It represents the continuation of oppression and the crackdown of protests in Iran and the regime's trial to silence the crowd and protesters. We knew it is not the first time that they are issuing such sentence for somebody attending protests, and this is the first one allegedly during the current wave of protests. But it is not unprecedented. In the past, in 2019's protests, we had a number of people facing death sentence. A number of them became actually figures for Iranian opposition and Iranian freedom fighters. And so this is a continuation of the same approach that the regime has taken in the past and continues to take. What message the regime is trying to send is to scare people and to reflect on the fact that they'll get arrested and then they'll get killed. What it represents in terms of the situation in Iran, it is definitely an alarm. More than 14,000, nearly 15,000 protesters have been arrested over the past 2 months. Many cases have begun against many of them, and the rest are waiting. And so this is definitely an alarming sign for human rights activists to continue pressuring the regime and trying to force them basically to stop this violation.
Is there a threat with more death sentences taking place?
Absolutely. I would think this way. Iran is one of the countries around the world, if not in the country, that has the highest death sentences on a regular basis. Now we are talking about the most serious challenge the regime has faced after its establishment 43 years ago. So I absolutely think if international communities stop to care and protests in Iran slow down, we will definitely be seeing, we will hear of more death sentences. However, with the intervention of international communities and other democracies around the world and pressuring the regime, we may be able to minimize this threat.
Are the mass arrests going to hinder the ongoing protests or only power them more?
It's definitely difficult to foresee the future. However, from what we can see so far, and this is the second almost month of the protests completed, so far it has not slowed the process down. It just made people angrier. We have to understand that this is a very uneven battle people fight in Iran, and we should understand that people do get tired. It is not something super fast, so we expect, okay, they should take it to the streets every day. However, they have displayed a very consistent and persistent sort of pattern regarding their protest. Last night, Iran saw one of the most widespread protests all around the country. So this is 2 months through, and after 15,000 of arrests, arrests and after death sentences and threats from the lawmakers and parliament members and various types of strong threatening of the protesters. So from what we can see, since it hasn't slowed down till now, there has been ups and downs. But if you take the average, it has been fairly persistent. I don't think so. But again, nobody can foresee the future.
How are internet restrictions in Iran affecting the international community's perception of these protests?
Well, strongly, first of all. And secondly, we need to bear in mind that even in the presence of full functioning internet, which definitely is not the case at the moment, Iran is a country where censorship exists in every cell of media in that country. So there is no free media, there is no free representative of media to reflect on what's taking place in Iran. So even if the internet was functional, we still couldn't rely on any news being reported by either the state media or any media that has the permission to be active, to actively cover the stories inside Iran, because for actively covering the news in Iran, you must have passed all those filters to basically be allowed to cover any story, which means you are already extremely biased and you are only reflecting whatever the regime and the state wants you to reflect on. That being told, going back to the internet story, it is extremely unreliable. Depending on the day, depending on the scale of protests, depending on the scale of events taking place in Iran, they are sometimes completely filtered. They have filtered so many of social media platforms in Iran are banned. So many apps are not accessible unless people have access to a functioning VPN, so they can actually connect from like a different country rather than their geographical location. And so you can see that this disrupts the circulation of whatever information people try to get out of social media. However, it is not a complete blackout. Depending, so like sometimes they start allowing some internet access from 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the hope that people are like asleep at that point. And all of these, again, are a sign, from my viewpoint, that they do not want to drag in the international attention more than they have already. So they're trying to avoid this accusation that Iran has completely shut the internet. You know what I'm saying? What they did in 2019. Therefore, they try to play with it, but it is extremely difficult to communicate. It is extremely difficult for protesters in Iran to send out their videos or photos or whatever coverage they have.
What efforts are needed to see this wide-scale change in Iran take place?
Well, first let me clarify what sort of change you're talking about, because you're not after reforms. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about what I hear from inside of the country. For many, many years, we were hearing people asking for reform. And those changes were, they were still happy with the same regime. They weren't happy, but they didn't want the story to get to a very pricey point, to a very bloody point. And they were willing to sacrifice and compromise and be happy with reforms within the system. That was an effort or whatever that people had a hope in for more than 20 years. In the previous election round in Iran, which took place 3 years ago almost, people basically shut that door and essentially announced the end of that era, essentially announced that it was a false hope and it was basically the wrong approach to take towards a regime that absolutely knows no reforms, has no flexibility, doesn't understand its people, is completely distanced from the will and the needs of the society. Since then, the protests have been, you can see, more severe, and we can hear a very clear demand from people. So they want a regime change. Now the goal is to replace this religious theocracy with a secular democracy. That is what Iranian people want. Now, what needs to happen for this to come true? I don't claim to have deep political knowledge, but in any case of successful revolution to take place and to succeed, next to the persistent and united effort of the people, we definitely need international support, international communities, as well as the leaders of the democracies around the world need to recognize the will and the wish of Iranian people. They need to, and we can see that that is already happening. They need to understand that Iranian people are asking for a regime change, so they can stop, and they must stop, whatever relations they are holding with this regime in a normal shape. So they should hold or end any negotiations they're holding with the regime, and they should stand by the will and wish of Iranian people.
On that note, how can people in New Zealand support the protesters in Iran?
Well, people in New Zealand and basically all people around the world, their first and most important help is to care, is to hear voices of Iranian protesters in Iran, to be curious about it, to read about it, to be sensitive towards what's taking place in Iran. Unfortunately, sometimes we get caught up in the fact that, okay, conflicts are going on around the world, everywhere, and we do get sad and we move on. And that is understandable. That's something that usually happens when the scale of conflicts around the world increases. But this is an important point in the history that can bring hope to a region, to a badly conflicted region. So it is a sophisticated situation which requires curiosity. What we want from people is to be curious about it, to read about it, to care about it. And particularly in New Zealand, as I'm an activist here, I ask people in New Zealand to support us. We hold events in support of the protests and the events in Iran, so they can show up in our events and they can hear us out. And we also are putting a number of demands through with the government. We're trying to lobby and get the government to realize what practical measures and actions they can take and what we expect from them. And Kiwis can support us by writing to their MPs, to their legal representatives in Aotearoa, and ask them to support us and ask them to hear us out. So this is basically what we ask from our Kiwi fellows.
That was Hannah Habibi talking about the ongoing arrests of protesters in Iran.